What's up, guys? You ready? You sure? Don't be lying to me. Open a can on you if you'd be lying. You ready? You better get in here and get ready. What's up, man? All right. So, how's the last couple days been? Sometimes in a battle, you got to get a little bit bloody. Yeah. You don't get to the end zone without taking some hits. Right? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Sometimes you have to die a few times along the way. I wouldn't talk or tell you about anything that I didn't know about myself. Okay? So today's going to be amazing. Just chill. Take a chill pill on yourself. Okay? I just want to tell you guys again, I'm proud of you. Proud of you guys for being here. Says a lot about your character, right? You're not the 1%. You're the 0.001% of 1%. Okay? So, I love my wife. She's amazing. And I'm just proud of her. Proud of who she is, who she's become. Who she is as a woman of God and a daughter of the Most High, her heart, her integrity, her desire to do the right thing, her willingness to question herself, her self-awareness, her heart for other people, her focus on people, her willingness to take the gifts that she's been given and cultivate and grow. And give, and give, and give. And what does his spiritual law say? Give, and it shall be given to you. What you don't use, you lose. You say, that's not in the Bible. Oh, really? Yeah, it is. To the one that has, more will be given to him. To the one who has not, what he has will be taken from him. She has taken what she has and used it and given it and cultivated it. And she's prioritized the home. I tease her a bit, a lot, but I really am proud of her. She's beautiful, both inside and out. Please give a warm welcome to my wife, Dani Johnson.
There we go. Hi. Hi. Sit down. Okay, no, you can stay. Oh, well, you don't have to if you don't want to. We're going to break up here in a minute, but I have a few things I want to talk about before we break us up into groups. You came back after last night. That's amazing. You may have lost a few, but it is what it is. Okay, the first thing I want to do is I want to break the ice, if there's any here. And I'm going to put my girlfriend on the spot, Mona. Mona, come here. Do we have one's on? Okay, and so we...
Hi.
See, when Mona and I met, I was the yard duty mom at our kids' school.
Short shorts.
Huh?
Short shorts.
they were down to here. They were down to here. I wear short shorts, but they were down to here. Anyway, and she would say it was a tight shirt. It wasn't. It was a big boxy red shirt. But no, but like we're explaining the religious, right? Versus who I thought was non-religious, right? I thought I was totally non-religious. I was so religious. I was so religious. So anyway, so when I was a yard duty mom at the kids' school, we had just moved from the city up into the mountains, and I met this amazing woman. And when we moved to the mountains, I had this revelation that it was actually, I had been diagnosed with my fatal heart condition, and I was told that I had to retire, that I couldn't work, I had to reduce my stress. You know, I was only working 20 hours a week also, right? So it wasn't like I was, you know, working like a crazy person. But we had this enormous house, almost 6,000 square foot house. We had almost $1 million worth of debt. It was 20 hours a week just to clean this enormous house, or it was going to cost $1,200 a month to clean the house. And this we had 10 acres, right? And we had when we bought the house, like all the gorgeous, you know, landscaping, and then you have to take care of it. You don't see that you have to take care of it when you're first buying it, right? So anyway, it was going to be $1,200 a month to hire a landscaper to take care of it, right? So there was, you know, 40 hours a week right there just with the house. And he was helping with the yard. I'm helping with the yard. I'm cleaning this gigantic house. Plus, we have all these little kids, right? So anyway, I'm retired now, and I'm going to use my talent and skill. And I'm going to volunteer at the kids' school, and so I start off as a yard duty teacher. And right when we got there, I realized that once I retired and we were going to sell our big giant house and we're going to change our lifestyle, I felt in my spirit that God had spoken to me that I would see who my real friends were. And he showed me that there'd be a shift of people out of our lives and some that would step into our lives. And I realized, my gosh, so does that mean there's like some of our friends that were only friends because we had this big house and we made lots of money and because I was a speaker and because we had this big successful business? Is that the only reason why some of my friends? And so I saw them, like in a vision, I saw which ones were leaving. And one was shocked. I was shocked about. It was my very best friend, who I thought, never in a million years, but I was replaced by doctor's wives. She didn't even realize what was going on, right? Because now we moved into a normal neighborhood and, you know, whatever. So I began to pray and I said, God, please bring me a friend that will be a true friend, that doesn't know anything about our past, doesn't need from me and I don't need from her, that it's just a mutually encouraging relationship. The day I meet Mona, I knew this was who I was praying for. So I'll tell you, I knew it. So,
I didn't know that.
So Mona was the woman in the sweatsuit. She was the PE teacher and Bible teacher, right? So I go over to form her, right? Form. And right away, she starts interrogating me. Like instantly starts interrogating me. And as this interrogation is starting, I am smiling and I'm looking at her like, oh yeah, this is who I've been praying for. Like really, right? So here we are just so opposite, right? The sweat girl and then, you know, not that I'm not the sweats girl because I'm an athlete.
You are.
Okay, I'm a serious, we played some basketball together before. So anyway, yes, she was there when I broke the ankle of that gigantic logger man. She was there when it was terrible. But anyway, but Mona and I have gone through quite a journey and Hans together. I mean, she has watched our family. Mona was there when Erica had her aneurysm. Mona actually officiated Roman and Rachel's wedding. She's kind of been like a second mom to our kids, and we've been that to her kids. It's like that's how close our families have been. You know, Mona sent me out to go bra shopping with her daughters. And will you please teach my daughters how to do the makeup and dress themselves thing, please? Because that's obviously not my gift. You teach them how to be girls, because I don't have a clue.
And they look good.
They really do. They're so beautiful. They're really so beautiful. So anyway, I had the chance to do the makeup of their daughters sophomores when they got married. Do you understand? Like, our families have been, like, really, really intertwined. And we're talking Iowa girl, gourmet cook. You know, so Mona would always invite herself over for dinner and say, hey, let's have a feast. I'll bring what I got in the crock pot and whatever it is that you're... I always say, you can leave your crock pot at home, and yes, you're invited for dinner.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway.
O-P-E, baby.
O-P-E. O-P-E, other people's efforts. You know, she started bringing me pumpkins in the month of November as an offering.
Pumpkin bread, baby.
Pumpkin bread.
You know? From scratch.
I make this amazing pumpkin bread. So anyway, through the years, like, we have been able to witness each other coming into the fullness of our freedom and our walk with our God. And our families, like, just... I mean, Mona was a very stringent, very, like, hardcore religious person who was in a box herself, and everyone else was in a box also, easily to get offended about anything and never could talk about sex. You know, alcohol was from the devil. You know, she had her poor husband in a prison. But here she's a sapphire, but sure, you know. That's from the devil. But anyway, I wanted her to share, and she shared it last time. Her and her husband were virgins when they got married. And Hans is like, I'm off, I'm out. She and her husband were virgins when they got married, and they were in their late 20s. Yeah, they were in their late 20s. So just to break the ice, to kind of set the stage for where we're going today, you go right ahead, girlfriend, and let her rip.
Thanks, friend. Hi, I did get my husband's permission. Fair warning. You know, he's at home working, and when I get home, I'm there for 24 hours, and we're taking a trip together. I'm super excited about that. But my husband grew up in a Leave It to Beaver home.
No.
In a very, very, very predictable, non-demonstrative, just a very simple... He was a choir boy since he was 4, Presbyterian, and... I grew up in a home with wild and crazy and very demonstrative. Is it okay? Okay, good. So she referred to my mom's and my story about getting my dad a treat at the grocery store of a penthouse, and that was normal. And in my house, we had, my dad was a coach. He's one of those good old boys, and there's a culture that grew up in that generation. And the men, you know, they viewed women a certain way. And I knew that women were basically a piece of meat. They served a purpose. And we had a nice wet bar. Everybody was drinking. And we had a boob chart. I forget. I think there's probably 100 different kinds of boobs. The saggy, the sideways, the lopsided, the pointy, the pointing out. I mean... And I guess men have a preference, too. I like these are my top 3 boob styles. I don't know. And back in that day, women didn't get boob jobs. You just got what you got. Like Mamo, my grandma, my mother's mother, she was a Viking woman, yeah? Yeah. Emily, she rolled her boobs up in the morning and put them in her bra. Yes. So, I wake up. In the morning, I know this house is free. We talk about boobs. And I got saved in high school, gave my life to Jesus, and found love like I never knew before. And I became friends with believers. They were the reason I became a Christian. I didn't have a Christian offense. I had Christian love around me in my high school. And it was so amazing that I was drawn, and I kept quiet. I didn't want them to know. Anyways... I'm in college now, going to a Bible study in Oregon. It's a 7. Oh, you want that too? Okay, so sex in my life was free and open. My parents slept naked, door wide open, and that was while they were doing sex and everything else. And I knew when they were upset that can I say that too? It's a bad word. I will. So, like, I knew when they were upset and they'd been drinking. You know, things go up and down when that happens, right? And my mom, she had fire. She'd be, F you, Willie. F you. And she'd be in her little nighty, and she'd get on a bicycle and ride down the street and get away from that man. F you. And then she'd come home, and they would make some noises all night long. I just, my sister, 4 years older, she says, Mona, we never have to worry about mom and dad. They have a great sex life. Oh, okay. My education was, this is the exposure that I had. This is what men looked through, the eyes they looked through. This is the way they treated women. And my mom, she was toe-to-toe with my dad. She taught me submission. First 2 years they were married, he went out and partied all night long, and she left his clothes and bags on the steps and said, see ya, buddy. This isn't what I signed up for. Then she found out she was pregnant with me. I saved their marriage. She called him up and said, dude, do you want to do this thing or not? Because we got a baby coming. He came home and she changed, not him. She went, every party he went to, she was right by his side. She learned how to smoke. She learned how to drink. He was a coach. She was at every single game in the stands. I saw a mother who refused to leave his side. Even though me as a daughter said, I hate that man. Get away from him. Divorce him. No, she was determined. They had an amazing, amazing why she shifted. And it changed my father. He treated her with love and respect. Without Jesus in the picture, the best he could do. And so anyways, I tell you that story to give my background compared to Tom's. We were very different. Statistics say you'll marry somebody like your dad. Not today. Not today. And I had an off, I was telling you, I went to this retreat. My dad said, hey, Mona, listen. I was in college, going with my Bible study to a retreat. He says, you get a chance to get laid, go for it. And I'm sitting at the bar with five of his guy friends around the bar. I'm like, okay, Dad. See you later. See you later. I'm so grateful God met me and taught me forgiveness at a very young age. Just beautiful story that it ended with me with my father when he passed away. And 5 years earlier, I watched him give his life to the Lord and put his trust in him. And, you know, what? One day, years later, he said, I don't know if you remember this, 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 and this, every beating, everything. He was rehearsing all the crap in my life. And he said, I told you I hit you because I loved you. I hit you because you made me mad. And I'm sorry. I wish that I had parents like your kids have. I wish that I had parents who lived what they believed and I could see God in like your kids do. And you and your husband have shown us more love and forgiveness than anybody in this world. So my dad had a life, you know, and he actually got my mom pregnant just so, because we're talking about sex. Do you know they got pregnant in high school, right at the end? That's not uncommon. A lot of people do that. And we don't know a lot about self-control. We don't understand our repercussions. We don't understand the seed that we plant. And he promised he would pull out. He promised he would pull out, Mona. I said, he what? You know, you guys, raise your hand if you're, right? She said, raise your hand if your parents talk to you about sex. Well, I never feel like raising my hand. And my education didn't come from the church. It came from the world and all the movies and TVs and my parents. He did not pull out. And evidently she was fertile myrtle because by the time she was 22, she had three children. Three. No wonder he went in the military. And it paid for his college. And they grew up and lived happily ever after. And I held his hand while he had peace with his father in heaven. Right? So Tom and I get married and we're both Christian teachers. And our courtship was holding hands. And I think it was December 17th after the Christmas banquet, we had our first kiss. But you know, I was, when we got married, I was 26, it was 1984, so we had our honeymoon in Carmel, California, and it was late, but we decided it was appropriate to have some intimacy the evening that we got to the cabin in Carmel, and somebody had bought me some sheer nighty kind of things that I had never seen in my life. My mom just always slept naked. And, you know, so, anyways, I come out. I think I left it out last time. You guys don't know this. They were two twin beds squished together. That adds a new dynamic, y'all, in case you don't know that. So to you in this room, I want to say, if you have felt awkward and like, what are we doing? And we feel like we're from Mars. You are. And I think this is, my normal is this. I'm like, what do I touch? What do I do? So we get in this situation and we're being intimate. I also think I left out the part where I was the science experiment because my husband was a science teacher. And do you know nipples feel funny and they change shape and form? Have you ever met a girl sitting there going, is this love? Oh, what's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. It's a secondhand emotion for crying out loud. There is no love in that room the first time you're trying the nasty. It did not sound, feel, or look what I had in my imagination from hearing my parents. Oh, Father God. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. How many, don't raise your hand, but how many, sometimes you're like, Lord, what's going on? Lord, what's going on? Lord, what's going on? Okay, so I just kept saying, no, this is right. No, this is right. No, this is right. No, this is right. Okay, so then we're like trying, we got to the point, because we read a book in our premarital counseling that said, if you unbutton their clothes, it's more fun. And it builds anticipation. I think people called it foreplay, so we did the unbutton the clothes things. But those sheer things don't have very many buttons. It didn't take very long. And I'm like, oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Okay, 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 okay. Bed, sheet, lights. Science experiment. Okay. Praise the Lord, we had kissed and we liked that part. Right? You know what I'm saying? So, anyways, you get there and you're like, well, first of all, what do you do with your arm? Why did God give us two? It's in the way and it's uncomfortable. And who gets to pay the price? Okay, you lean on your left, I'll lean on my right. No, you go over here. Put it over your head. Okay, this works. Yeah, more of my boob. Okay, here you go. That tastes good. Okay, so here we go. All right, now. All right, how long do we do this part? How long? Okay, what's next? All right, wait a second. Do you do it side? That's really weird, sideways. Sideways doesn't work. Oh my gosh. Okay, 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 okay. Try this top-bottom thing. Okay, got it. We're good. We're good, we're good, we're good, we're good. Oh, good, good. Yeah, that's good. Ah! He goes, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? I go, my cramp, my leg, my leg, my leg, my leg. Oh my God, my leg, my leg, my leg. Ah! Ah! I have to jump out of bed. Get it done. Don't go away. Go away. Okay, I'm better. I'm sorry, I dropped my radio, honey. Okay, are you okay? I'm so sorry. It really hurt. It takes a while to rub it out. Okay, okay, honey. Woo! He goes, does that happen all the time? I'll get back to you on that. Okay. So we think that was a pretty good start. Let's sleep. So let's sleep. I think we must have stayed on the twin bed because it didn't split in half and swallow us. You know, weddings are exciting, all those details. You're pretty exhausted. You finally get to touch each other and it's legal. Okay, this is right, this is right. And you fall asleep. Okay, this is like the best part so far. Oh, Carmel, lovely Carmel, wake up in the morning and I have to puke. I race out of bed, throw the covers off, going to the bathroom. By the way, we didn't drink. The smell of alcohol brought back bad memories. Makes sense. So he was cool. He loved beer, but he never drank it when he was with me. Puking my guts out. Didn't make any sense. So I come out, I'm like, good morning. I probably should have brushed my teeth, right? Yeah. He goes, do you do that every morning? I am scaring the man. Okay, I didn't know personalities, and I'm just going to tell you, emeralds, I don't know if every emerald is like that, but for Tom, if something happens once, he thinks it's that way all the time. Oh my gosh, it's like a week before I got married, I got my hair done. If you see my wedding picture, I'm very proud of it, but I got a perm, okay? So he said to me, your hair looks awesome. I said, no, it doesn't. It's ugly. She did an awful job. He never once for 35 years has told me after a hairdo that it looks awesome. Never once. He says, how do you like your hair? You know, I just want you to say, first of all, sense of humor is awesome, isn't it? We have to have it. And we got through that experience. We continued to, he was going to build a romantic fire and stepped on a nail. Later in life, I realized that was a gift from God because the man hiked the Pacific Crest Trail, you know, Mexico to Canada, 2,700 miles. You don't have to worry about stamina with that guy, okay? So here's the deal. He stepped on that nail and had pictured us walking on our little honeymoon. I'm like, I would have been on the Pacific Crest Trail for 10 days. Praise God, he got a nail. We had to sit by the fire. Okay, because our last half was up in Oregon at the Shakespeare Festival where we watched Taming of the Shrew, okay? Anybody who's... Taming of the Shrew? Do you know what that is? It's a guy telling the wife to chill out. He's the boss. And there's a speech in it. She says, well, dude, if I see the moon is blue and you say, yay, it is red, guess what? I will say it is red too. And she learned how to submit. And I said, leaned over, don't you listen to a word of this. You did not get a yes, sir, wife. So let's fast forward. You guys, that's my story. I wanted to set you free to be okay with unfamiliar, the uncomfortable that could produce insecurities. But those insecurities, it's just normal to have some. Your life is status, it's used to it, and then you take something out or you put something in and it feels all wacky. And for a second you feel like everything's gone crazy and I'm gonna die. This is never. By the way, if you're an emerald, I understand that now, but reality is it's just a very normal reaction to change. It's a really normal reaction to change. It happens in grief when a very important person leaves and you feel all of the chaos. It happens when something awesome, like your kid gets married or a baby's born. Change brings a time of kind of reorganization and settling again. And you just need to give it time. And Tom and I spent time together and it triggered some things from my past in our beginning. And we went to a counselor, and I realized that thing I started way back on that first night, this is good, this is right. This is good, this is right. This is good, this is right. And all the triggers from the past that say, no, this is dirty, this is wrong, this is shame, it's like, no, this is good, and this is right. You know, the Father made man and woman. He said, ooh, this is very good. This is very good. And you get past the ups and downs and through the process. He's the one that's faithful. His love never fails. So let's fast forward to some more sense of humor, shall we? Just in case you don't know this, I'm 60. Woo! And my husband is 62, soon to be 63. And he is amazing in a million different ways. But I came home from last year's hot steps. I know, it's hot marriage secrets. Thank you, Andres. I appreciate that. Yeah. And so I decided to practice some of the new things I was learning. You guys have your homework here. And I'm going to, you don't have to be honest with me, but I can guarantee you, I have a new way to pray for you guys when you're here, because it is awkward and weird, even after being married 34 years, to try something new. Especially he didn't hear about it, so he couldn't verify and have the data and clarify. But I'm going to guarantee you, after 34 years of marriage, he's really familiar with unpredictable. 3 a.m., honey, I'm home. Yes, we went to sleep, I know. Why not wake up? Let's go. Right? Anytime for you, baby. Anytime for you. So we did have some very awkward moments when I came back, and it was hilarious because we laughed through the whole thing. It was like day one, night one, year one. And let's laugh through this thing and enjoy each other. Because change isn't intimidating anymore. And you know what? We have the freedom to say, yeah, I don't think I looked until it worked. And you know, he's working. He was a teacher for 36 years and retired, and now he's working as a handyman, painting, fixing, and he's got sore shoulders, and so I assess what he can physically handle before I make suggestions. Don't we take each other into consideration? And there are ebbs and flows, like we're going to fall asleep in 1 minute. And that's okay. And we have figured out in our relationship that we perform way better after we've had a little sleep. And we both a morning person, so we'd be having a morning more. That afternoon delight, that's nap time. You guys, you enjoy your afternoon delight. Anyways, I'm so grateful. Grateful, because it's awkward, and if you don't talk about it and hear somebody else say, this was hard and this was yucky, but I got over it, and you will too. And to share that story is relatively embarrassing. And Tom laughed, and he said to me, let Danny know I'm waiting on bated breath for you to come home from Hot Marriage Secrets. Let's see our marriage get a little hotter. So anyways, I love you guys, and please remember, laugh, laugh, laugh. Be patient with yourself. Even unspoken expectations, drop those, okay? And they've been saying it all weekend, and I love how Hans opened and said, just leave what you came in with. Leave it behind you. Just stay open. And a lot of times when you remove boundaries, you feel like you go too far. Maybe you do. Come back when you do. You won't learn until you do. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. And sometimes you feel more insecure when there's not a firm line. That's why us Westerners like that. That makes us feel a little more secure. There's a line right there. I'm going to cross that line. I'm not going to cross that line. I feel so much safer. I can lean against it. Let me tell you what we're supposed to lean on. We're supposed to lean, yes, on the Father. But I love in Song of Solomon when it says that I came up out of the wilderness leaning on my beloved. That's the picture that he gives us for each other. That we come up out of the wilderness, the trials, the difficulties, the hardships, leaning on our beloved. There's nothing that gets you closer than going through hard stuff when you're leaning on each other. You choose. So anyways, love you guys. Thank you, friend, for once again embarrassing me.
Floor. That was hilarious and amazing. My gosh, what a perfect, perfect message to start the morning. Now that my makeup is completely halfway down my face, that's awesome. Okay, so, I wanted to kind of fill in some blanks, perhaps, that could be going on inside of your head. With some questions that you might have about some things about this journey, this sexual journey. You know, my husband being the ruby sapphire that he is and likes change, and I've always asked him, like, how in the world do you not get bored with me? Like, because he gets bored so easy, right? I mean, a ruby sapphire, a sapphire ruby has a double dose of boredom. So they have, like, forget about it. Like, me. You know, they got to be changing things, you know what I mean? And running on spontaneity, fuel. And, you know, poor Hans married his opposite. And although I love a good dose of hooky, like playing hooky, but it's usually generally planned. he just doesn't know it, but it is planned. I play hooky when I'm supposed to. So he, you know, he and I started having these conversations, and I felt very threatened. I love the word that you've been using for the last 2 days. I really do, because it's really opened up some things for me. And that's the word, threatened. That really is the best way to describe an insecurity, is I felt threatened by, I felt that because he wanted to, like, start talking or exploring, whether it was, you know, hey, I want to take pictures of my wife. And, you know, the first time we're in Bora Bora, and, you know, it actually was before Bora Bora. And I was like, like, right away, I felt threatened. Like, why? You know, and this is before phones and digital cameras and stuff like that. So anyway, well, I think it was a digital. Doesn't matter. Bottom line is, the point was, whether they were pictures with clothes on or whatever, or a certain kind of clothes on, or whatever. anyway, I felt threatened. And right away, I start associating with pornography. And not realizing where all this programming had come from. And yet, this started to create distrust between us, and I felt threatened that, wait, am I not good enough? Is our current sex life not good enough? And he was just saying, what if there's more? What if there's more than this? Like, meh, huh? Oh, I thought you said something else. What if there's more? Like, how could there be more? Like, because I had my little box of where it's supposed to be, this little safe place where my Christianity and my sex life was supposed to kind of stay in this little place. And so years pass, and I just really struggled. I really, really struggled with this. And so then I began to ask my questions of my God, which was the craziest thing. So I would start to ask some questions. Like, for example, first place I went was a couple of pastors that I know, and they told me the same exact thing that Rabbi Natan did. I said, you know what? Those are freaky pastors. You know, that's what it is. They're kind of those evangelical kind of guys. You know, they like this whole freedom message. I don't really trust these suckers. So then I'm thinking, I'm going to look someplace else, right? So I asked some counselors. And then I had one woman, my spiritual mom, you know, she believed that oral sex was evil. Somebody else tell me something else was evil. And like, can you show me in the Bible where it says this, please? You know, can you tell me? No, it's just evil. Like, okay, so I'm like confused. Like, I don't understand. So then I wake up one morning after I had been gone for a while, and Hans and I meet up in a hotel room after every first steps for like 2-3 days, having a blast. And I remember waking up that morning and just feeling shame and feeling guilt and crying in the bathroom, just going, not because something bad happened between us, but just because I am wrestling with this sexual conversation. And I'm like, God, I need to know. Like, I don't want to dishonor you. I want to be holy. I feel like he wants me to be a slut. What's a slut? What's a slut? It's someone who practices sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is what? Sex out of marriage. Sex out of marriage is sexual immorality. So I'm like, but I feel like I'm teetering on the edge of that. But how? It's in the confines of marriage. So then I would hear, no, the marriage bed is undefiled. The marriage bed is undefiled. That what happens in the consent of the husband and the wife is blessed by God. But again, I don't believe my Christian people. So I wake up that morning and I'm like, I get this idea. I'm like, I know what I'm going to do. This is while I'm praying. I believe it was God that led me to it. Like, I know what I'll do. I'm going to go to the most religious, stringent, rule-following suckers I know. And I'm going to ask them. Doesn't that seem like a really good idea?
Yeah.
I'm going to show Hans. I'm going to go straight to the ones who have kept the Bible holy, set apart, have not changed anything. The authors who have authored it all these years, who have protected it all these years, who have lived it out all these years, these guys have more rules than anybody when it comes to the Bible. So I'm not one that believes in all the commentary or all the extra laws. And when Yeshua was here, that's who he was fighting against, the Pharisees, who created all these extra rules and all these extra laws. So I've always been very cautious of any of that stuff from a Christian perspective or from a Jewish perspective. Like, no, give me just the naked word of God. I don't want to hear it through somebody else's crap. Why? Because we all interpret it through our crap. Do you understand? We interpret it through our own insecurities. We interpret it through what we feel comfortable with. We cause it to say what we want it to say. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go straight to the legalist of all legalists. I'm going to get the truth. So I text my friend, Aviad. I say, dude, so what do Jews, can I find out, like, from a Jewish perspective, what you guys believe is okay with sex? He says, get this book called Kosher Sex. So I Google it right away. I download it right away. I start, and I'm like, this basically says everything, almost like everything is okay. He's like, this guy's a little controversial in some certain places, but all in all, the Torah says, let me ask you a question. How many of you have read the Bible? How many of you see a lot of don'ts? How many of you don't follow all of them? How many of you see a lot of do's? Okay. So these guys, the Jews, have taken all the don'ts and they magnified them, right? Okay, so there's Shabbat. Okay, it's sun up to sundown, evening to evening. No, they're like, nope, it has to be pitch black. So Shabbat is not 24 hours, it's 25. Why? Just to be okay. Just to make sure we did it right, okay? So Rosh Hashanah, which is actually stemmed from the Feast of Trumpets, not Feast of Trumpets, but it is Trumpets. Is it called Feast of Trumpets? Day of Trumpets is the Day of Trumpets. Okay, Day of Trumpets is one day of rest. They made it two, just to be okay. Just in case we miss the exact moment of when we're supposed to blow this trumpet. Just going to extend the day. Do you understand what I'm saying? So okay, it says don't kindle a light on the Shabbat. So it's like you're supposed to have a light already going. And you keep that light alive through the Shabbat, right? Don't start a new one. So we're not going to start our cars. We're not going to turn our phones on. Anything that sparks, can't do it. Okay? So we're talking like, I don't want to say insane, but extreme, insane. The rabbi says insane. You have to wash your hands a certain way. You got to have certain foods, certain plates, two sinks. Do you understand? Okay? And there's a lot of jokes about all of it, honestly, that even the rabbis tell, that the Jews even tell, right? They make fun of themselves, of their extreme, want to make sure we're doing it right kind of thing. So I can't think of a better people to ask who have lived this Bible. So I'm getting on the phone, I'm like, I'm going to show Hans. I'm going to be right. I'm going to be right. And I just got kicked in the face. Like, what? So that's what had me start searching all of it out and then realizing and praying through. And then, of course, having the Holy Spirit enter our sex life. Yes. I remember the first time where I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit during a beautiful sexual time with Hans and I, and me just going, what are you doing here? I can see it when I'm casting out demons, but what are you doing here? Like, what is... And I heard, I bless this. I bless this. I bless this. I'm like, what? So I'm like, so before the next sexual act, I'm like, hey, want to join? Come on with us. Like, I want to feel your presence. Come on, like the presence of God while I'm making love to my husband? What an amazing experience. The presence of God being there with us while we are being intimate, while we are one flesh. You're like, what the heck did she just say? Try it. Invite the presence of God. Invite the blessing of God. You're like, oh, that's just a little weird. No, it's not. It's very natural. It's very natural. He's already there. You just have not acknowledged that his presence is there. You have not acknowledged it. Why? Because again, we've created these walls, these places where we say, okay, the Holy Spirit can be there on Sunday. If you'd like to show up when I pray for dinner, go ahead. It'd be great if you show up when I pray for my friend. During worship, it's okay. Guess what? Sex is spiritual warfare. It's a form of worship. It's a blessing to our God. It's living out what he put us on the earth to do. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you. And so I want you to know that I have searched the scriptures out. You need to search it out yourself. You know, so like, for example, I remember in Leviticus 18:22, where the first time I came across that, and it tripped me out. It absolutely tripped me out. And this is the middle of me asking the question of like, okay, so like, all right, anal sex, is that has to be evil, right? That has to be wrong. That can't happen between a man and a woman. I know that this like gets underneath some of your skin. By the way, that may not be for what you and your husband or your wife will call blessed. Do you understand? This again, this is about what is a blessing to the couple, right? So here it says in Leviticus 18:22 that men began to stray away from their natural ways and to go with other men as they would a woman. I'm like, what? What do you mean go and have relations with a man as was unnatural to a man, but it's natural to a woman? How do two men have sex? So I was like, whoa. Does that just say what it said? That is weird. That is not what I would think. But wait a second. It's saying, okay, so how a man and a woman come together. Okay, so wow. Okay. That the unnatural part is that a man's with the man, not how they're coming together. Makes you scratch your head a little bit. Again, you're like, some of you are like, no! I am not telling you to go have anal sex. That's not what I'm telling you. What I am telling you is I'm asking you to ask your God what is right for the two of you. Yeah. That's what I'm telling you. Okay, now there's all kinds of studies and research that it's probably FOS, but there's like physical reasons why that brings pleasure. There's physical reasons why that particular area brings pleasure actually to both. There's a reason for that. And there's like physical scientific proof as to why it does, right? So, and by the way, if you had been molested, it's probably not going to bring you pleasure. Do you understand? It would be a trigger. Do you understand? Just like oral sex, if you have been molested, it might be a negative trigger for you, but you can't take your trigger and create a law out of it and create a judgment out of it. Do you hear me? You can't take your rules that are not in the Bible, okay? When you look through the Song of Psalms, you literally see oral sex right in there. You literally see it. He wants to lick her honey. It says it right in there. That he wants to lick her honey. Come on, friends. He calls it sweet, too, actually. So, do you actually think she went, I mean, he's talking about the bees, honey? That she made honey? And no, he is describing her body parts in that passage. He is describing touching them, loving them, exploring them, licking them. It is a very passionate book, that book is. And that book is about sex. And many people have turned it into, it's a end of times book. Like, okay. There's a whole lot of stuff in the Bible that people call end times that already happened like 1,000 years ago, that happened even 2,000 years ago, literally. Like the stuff that Daniel talked about already happened. It already happened. The desecration of the temple already happened. That's what actually was the Hanukkah, the desecration, right? the defilement of the temple, the idols coming in, the Greeks bringing their idols directly in. That's exactly what Daniel prophesied. That happened 2,000 years ago, 2,186 years ago, something like that. And that was the, that's the Hanukkah. That's what Hanukkah celebrates, is that we took over the temple again. Anyway, another story, another time. Anyhow, I'm just a crazy person that keeps asking the questions, and I'm not afraid to ask God. I'm just not. I'm not afraid to ask God, and my point is this, and you're all mature enough to not be judgers of somebody else's exploration or questions, or, you know, I might have a totally different opinion a year from now, so you better not try to use my opinion about what should happen between the two of you. You cannot. You know, I might have a totally different perspective 5 years from now. I have a totally different perspective than I did 5 years ago. I'll tell you that right now. I was in so much bondage 5 years ago. Now, let's go here for lust. The same person that wrote the book Kosher Sex wrote a book called Kosher Lust. And I haven't read that book, but just the title itself was insanely provocative. Just the title itself, I'm like, what? Hold on. I'm not supposed to lust after anybody else, but am I to lust for my husband? I'm not supposed to seduce somebody else, but the marriage bed is undefiled. The marriage itself and the sexual relationship is blessed by God. It is called holy. That very act of sex is holy. What happens between a husband and a man is declared holy. It's set apart just for them. And my whole desire is to be holy, is to be right standing with him, to not be off, especially friends in my line of work. You're lucky. You get to keep your beliefs to yourself. I could too. We wouldn't be having events if I did. Right? So I easily could just take my beliefs and shove them into another place and just ignore, you know, all of that kind of stuff and leave it be. But I've chosen to trust him, to talk about things that people are not willing to talk about, to help people come out of the darkness and out of the bondage that they've been led into. That the Bible is very clear about the lust of the flesh and all of this and orgies, and those are all no-goes. No question. How many of you are not going to leave and go to find an orgy? Like, just, you better put your freaking hands up. I mean, we're very clear here, okay? Orgies are not an option, okay? That's not an option. Drunken parties, orgies, you know, all of that kind of stuff is like not wise, right? At the same time, having the time with your spouse and being able to, and according to this scripture, like lusting for your spouse, wanting your spouse, desiring your spouse, seducing your spouse, is all blessed. And so what we've done is we've taken these passages and we've made them a blanket thing over all things. Do you understand? And I'm going to drop a bomb on you right now. This is something that I had a revelation about recently. Okay, so if you read any of the Talmud is thousands of rabbis and all of their commentary and advice they've given different couples and advice they gave in certain countries and rulings that they made because of certain things that were happening in a nation or certain place or was happening in a certain synagogue, right? That's exactly what Paul wrote. Paul was a Pharisee. You know this, right? Paul was a Pharisee. And Paul, as a Pharisee, okay, hears the words of Jesus, gets converted, never, ever, ever lived with Jesus, didn't walk with Jesus for 3 years, right? Didn't see the acts of Jesus. The Holy Spirit convicts him. And what was he? He was a Pharisee prior to his conversion. And if you read his writings, it is Talmud. It's Talmud. It's the same. He is giving... He's a rabbi, first of all. Paul was a rabbi, and he was a Pharisaical rabbi. He even says it himself. I was a Pharisee of all Pharisees, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Who, by the way, said, I keep the law. I keep Torah. I keep that. But here, when you read his certain things, like, for example, women are not to speak. Is that Torah? Nope. That's not Torah. But that was a rabbi giving advice to some woman that was unruly in a synagogue. Yes, do you understand? So now what we've done, we've created a whole doctrine, just like the Jews have, out of the Talmud, out of Paul's Talmud, out of Paul's commentary. And what do we say? No, all of that. What? No, I'm sorry. There's a lot of that Paul said that even contradicted what Jesus said, that even contradicted with what was written in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, that was written against what the prophets and the writings were. And by the way, that's who Jesus stood against. Jesus stood against the Pharisees. He came to call them out. He came to, like, he pulled their robes off and had them buck naked in front of everybody. He did. And so when I read Paul's writings, I'm like, whoa, that doesn't line up with the rest of the book. And so how is the Bible supposed to be confirmed? It's supposed to confirm itself. So you have to learn to discern the opinion of a man versus the breath and the word of God, which, how many of you were in Israel with me? Okay, awesome. You guys are amazing. So the Israel team, I showed you my Bible and how I highlighted every single time God spoke because I wanted to hear God's words versus all of man's words or the happenings that happened through man or the historical thing that they were explaining. Do you understand? Because we can create a huge doctrine out of some of the wrong parts of the historical parts of the Bible or whatever. So anyway, I challenge you to study the word. I challenge you to cross-reference the word. I challenge you to dig into it. So we are not in any way condoning lust, orgies, or any of that kind of stuff. That's not what we're doing. What we are doing is challenging you to seek God the way we have sought God in your sexual relationship, in your marriage relationship. And it's about the conversation, right? It's about exploring conversation. It's about telling the truth. I got to ask this question. How many of you have started to tell the truth this weekend? How many of you say it's been a little scary? And telling the truth, okay? But how many of you have felt you have started to build closer to each other in telling the truth? You see what I'm saying? You do. So remember where I started on Friday with, like, there's a bunch of crap in between the two of you. We want to get the crap out of the way. So what? So you're coming closer and closer and closer as one flesh. So even as last night, some of you went, you did your homework. Some of that homework made you cry. Some of it made you mad. Some of it made you super happy. And some of you ended up in having a beautiful sexual night, right? How many of you are in any one of those categories that I just said, right? Okay. So one of those things happened last night, right? Okay. And I can tell who had sex and who didn't. I can. Okay. So anyway, so the bottom line is that just means that you're getting closer and closer and closer due to what? Getting more and more honest, getting more and more honest, more and more honest, more and more honest. And that's what's bringing you closer and closer together. Okay. So nobody can tell you what is okay sexually except for your God. Your God. He's the only one that can tell you. He is the one that made you. Have the courage to ask. And it was scary for me to ask. It was, like, clearly scary for me to ask. And he knows what a hardhead I am. He knows it. It's like, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll ask the strictest people I know. I'll ask the ones who created 1,000 more rules on top of the Torah. I will ask the ones that are so scared of him that they created so many more rules. That's who I'm going to ask. And I was like, what? So to me, I was like, wow. It doesn't mean I want to do all of those things. Doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is that what I do want to do is totally okay. Does that make sense? Doesn't mean I want to go over there, but here's, wow. And I don't feel like sex is bad anymore, and I don't feel like it's shamed anymore. Do you understand? But I am more open with thyself and real with my desires and feel blessed to be horny. And feel that it's good and it's part of a blessing. And then when I feel sexually stimulated for that beautiful man over there, give me that. He calls me Hungry Eyes. You know that song, right? Yeah, that's what he calls me, Hungry Eyes. Hungry Eyes. Okay, so I hope I'm clearing things up, not making more things crazy. What I want to do right now before we break up, by the way, another thing is just because, okay, remember yesterday we made a list of how we like to be flirted with? Do you remember the list? Okay. So with that list, I wanted to tell you that just because that's how he or she likes to be flirted with right now, it might change next week. It might change next month. It might change next year. And Mona said something that nailed me. Because where's my emeralds? Do you not identify with what she said, that as soon as we see something one time, that's it, that's the law, that's the way it is, that's how I am, like completely how I am. And so it's like, but wait, you said, wait, I'm doing this because you said, right? It's like, but that's how I felt last year. That's how I feel, especially I'm married to that, right? Who loves change and loves to disrupt things all the time. He makes a rule just so he can blow it up. Never wants to follow his own rules. He just wants to make it so he could blow it up. Like, awesome. So following Hans Johnson is like me following a jackrabbit. It's been my life. Today he likes blue, tomorrow he hates it. Anyway, it's lots of fun. Keeps me on my toes. So be open to that, emeralds. Don't be so stringent. Do you understand? You need to understand that human beings change and change often. We evolve, we grow, we explore. And so don't let it be. It's like, especially when it comes to something negative. Do you hear me? Well, my wife doesn't like sex. That's how she feels in the moment. That's not forever, especially if she's here. Especially if she's here. And vice versa for the men, because there's some men that have suppressed themselves so badly that they've lost their sex drive, which is like unnatural. So even for those men who it's like 1 to 2 times a month, he's like, I'm good. Why? Because he has lost his dream. He has like cut off his... lifehood. He like... forget it. You get what I'm saying. So just because it's how he feels today or how she feels today doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. Do you understand? So if you have a tendency of like making a rule and making a law out of something, like, no, let go. It's just how it is in the moment. It's just a feeling for right now. Things are going to change, okay? Things are going to get better, especially because they're here. Listen, even if you hated the weekend, you have a desire for a hot marriage. So even if what we've delivered to you isn't you, guess what? You still have a desire for a hot marriage and you're going to continue on in your search. All right. That's it. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do right now. Cool. All right. I'm excited for today. We're going to have a great day. We're going to have lots of great conversation. You might learn a couple things. You might teach us a couple things, to be honest with you. That's what I'm going to be doing with the girls. I have one particular culture that I'm going to ask some questions of. And there's a move I want to learn how to do. I'm going to grab myself one particular girl to show me how to do it. It's really funny. But first, we're going to pray. And first here, I just want to go here first. Father, thank you so much for your beautiful love. Thank you, Father, for your truth. Thank you for what you've done here this weekend. God, there truly is no one like you. I thank you for the journey of freedom that you're walking us on. Thank you, Father, for teaching us how to be your children with a childlike faith to ask questions. Kids are not afraid to ask questions. They ask, why is this? Why is that? Why? Father, I pray that you open our mouths, that we would boldly ask you the questions, and that we'd be ready to hear whatever it is that you want to say. Father, I pray that you bless every man, woman in this place. I pray, Father, especially for those couples who are working through some really hard stuff, that you give them your grace to forgive and to accept. And that, Father, whatever threats have come against their beliefs, whatever threats have come against even their physical bodies, that, Father, they will, instead of embracing the threat, they will release the threat and trust you. that they will seek to trust you with their marriage, with their finances, with their sex lives, with their physical bodies, who they are as sexual beings. Father, I pray that you continue to open all of our eyes and bring your truth. And Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, and also in the name of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Father, our fathers, our founding forefathers of faith, Father, I ask in their name that you would teach us the way that you taught them. Father, I pray that you also would release over us the freedom that you originally intended for us. That you would take the scales off of our eyes. And right now, in that name, I come against the spirit of religion. I come against the evil form of it, not the righteous form of it, but the evil forms of it that have been used to control people, that have been used to manipulate people, that have been used to bind people up, that has sent out confusion in the midst of our world where people are sexually confused, that they have no idea what their identity is, that a man doesn't know who he is and a woman doesn't know who she is and what their function and their form is. Father, I rebuke right now every single lie that we have all personally spoken against our sexual lives, against our marriage, against our spouse. Father, I come against the father of lies right now in the name of Yeshua. I come against every form of witchcraft that has been assaulting the church and assaulting the people of God. All the witchcraft that has sent in the confusion and that has driven division and has dried people up. And has robbed them of their joy and robbed them, Father, of enjoyment of each other. And I come against the spirit of manipulation in the name of Yeshua. I come against every form of evil sexual acts, Father, that has been performed against the people that are in this room. And Father, I pray release, yes, that you, Yahweh, have anointed me and others and everyone in this room to set captives free. To release from bondage and to release out of the prison gates to come into your freedom. Father, to come into your Yovel, your year of Jubilee. Father, we pray that you would, yes, release off of every single person in this room guilt and shame. I bind the spirit of guilt. I bind the spirit of shame that it says, you said that what we loose in heaven is loose on earth. What is loose on earth is loose in heaven. So we break and bind and paralyze shame and guilt. Right now, that is not fitting for the marriage relationship. Yes. And Father, I particularly pray. In fact, I want everyone who's been molested and has not yet been delivered from that. You are still wrestling with it. You are still feeling the pain of it. There's still residue of it. I want you to stand to your feet. That is still talking to you. It's still messing with you. Just stand to your feet. Yeah. I want you to just say this after me. Father, I stand before you. You know what happened, where it happened, with whom it happened, how it happened, even why it happened. I have felt defiled from this act, and it has hurt me. It has controlled me, and I want freedom from it. I choose to release my defiler. I choose to fully forgive and let go of my perpetrator. And from this day forward, I choose not to pick up that affliction again. So right now, those of you who are standing, I want you to just, this is going to take a little bit of courage and humility. Yeah. If you were molested by a man, I just want you to put up your hands really quick. Okay. And now I need some men. Can you help me? Keep your hands up. I need some men to come and stand as the men who molested. And if you were a man who were molested, you're probably a really good one to go to every hand that's up right now and ask for forgiveness. You know exactly what to say to bring the wholeness there. Do not pray over them. You look them in the eyes and you say, "Will you?" I want you to be the one that molested them and ask them to forgive you. Hands up. Chad. Go ahead. You know what to say. Look them in the eyes. You are pretending to be the perpetrator. Look them in the eyes. Look them in the eyes. This is not a time to pray for them. You are the perpetrator. Please forgive me. I touched you. You can get specific, get graphic. Holy Spirit, I pray you put the words inside of the mouths right now. Put the words in their mouths of what to say. Yes. Yes. Forgive me for violating the trust. Come on. Come on. Forgive me for touching you. Forgive me for not protecting you. Forgive me for confusing you. Forgive me for defiling you. If you're standing with a man, for first of all, those who are doing the forgiveness, say, "I forgive you. I release you." Don't leave that person yet. I got more to do. "I forgive you. I release you. I release you. I will never bring it up again. You owe me nothing. You owe me nothing. I'm free of this. I will not carry this with me for the rest of my life. This will not inhibit who I am as a human." Come on. Say this after me. "I am not dirty. I am clean. I am not unwanted. There's not something wrong with me. I am whole." Men, say this after me that are standing and you were molested. Say this. "I am a man." Hans, you need to do it.
You're standing and you were touched by a man. That was an attack against your manhood and your masculinity and an assault against who you are created in your Father. And it was a lie. And now is a time for you to make a decision.
Yes.
To continue to live in agreement with that lie. Or to let that lie lose its power right here, right now.
Yes.
Darkness cannot loses its power when it's exposed by light.
Yes.
If your manhood was assaulted, it's for the very reason, because you were created and designed to be a very strong man.
Yes.
You were assaulted and attacked at the very center of your greatest strength. So right now, we get to use our free will and it's very simple. We either get to, we either choose this day as a new creation to continue creating ourselves day after day as a prisoner of the lie, as a son of the father of lies, or we use our free will right now, this second, to renounce that lie, to expose that lie with truth, with light. No darkness can stand in light. It's a lie. It has no power. The only power it has is our agreement with that lie. So we choose right now, and I'm asking you guys, what's your choice? Are you a new creation this day, tomorrow, as a son of the living God,
yes,
a beloved warrior son of the living God? Or will you be a new creation each and every day, recreating the lie? If you're going to own who you are today, I want you to say it right now. I renounce the lie. Say it. Say it like you mean it. I renounce that fucking lie that came against me, that challenged my manhood, that tried to make me feel like I wasn't a man, that got into embedded into my head, into my soul, into my thoughts, that has driven me my entire life to prove to myself and others that I am a man. That challenge to my sexuality, that challenge to my masculinity, I renounce it. It's a lie. It's not me.
That's right.
You're not my father.
That's right.
Say it. You're not my father.
That's right. I feel like all the men need to stand up on this one, just because we've had an assault against the manhood of our nation, especially the manhood in the church. So I feel like all the men need to stand, and all the men need to say what Hans said, because it's not just the ones that were molested.
You don't have to say the F word part if you don't feel comfortable with it. But some of you need to say it.
Yes.
I renounce the lie that I am not a man, that I am not good enough, that I am too big, that I am too small, that I'm too weak, that I have wrong thoughts, that I was inappropriately touched, you are not my father. You are the father of lies. You are not my father. I don't agree with it anymore. I don't agree with your lie. I come into agreement. I own that I am a son that is a highly favored son of the Most High God. I know who my true father is. The one who knew me before my mother's womb. Who created me. Who knitted me. Who predestined my life before the beginning of the foundations of the world. Who formed and shaped me to represent his image here on earth, to advance his kingdom here on earth, to take ground and hold it here on earth. Father, I accept your love. You are my true father. I am not going to listen to a fake father anymore. Father, give me ears to hear your voice and only your voice. Give me ears to be able to hear that pesky little bitch ass, punk ass MF-er and not listen to him. To discern his voice. Father, set me free. I am in you. I'm your son. I'm a new creation each day. Create me new today. This day, Father. This day I know nothing. You know everything. Make me new this day. Let me live and walk in your truth this day. As a son, fully owning my manhood, fully owning my masculinity. I am not defined by this world. I am not defined what happened to me yesterday, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I'm not defined by what the media says. I'm not even defined by what my wife says. I am a new creation every day, this day, every day, by your word. You are my true father. I am your son. Teach me, mold me, shape me, conform me, transform me into the image of your son. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the living God. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of the living God. You shall not live on bread alone, but by every breath that proceedeth out of the mouth of the living God. My sheep hear my voice, another voice they will not follow. That's the prize. That's the inheritance. That's the kingdom. That's sonship. Thank you, Father. You're awesome. I love you, Father. I know you love me. I know you got my back. I know you're going to teach me everything I need to know. Father me. I'm asking you right now, Father. Father me as your son. Teach me. Mold me. Shape me. Lead me. Adjust me. Tweak me. Calibrate me. I trust you. I trust you to deal with my stuff, to correct me. I'd rather be corrected by you because I trust that you see what I can't see. You're where you are already there. I am not. I do not see clearly. You see perfectly, clearly. 100% of the time. Show me the end zone, Father. Let me not take a step in the wrong direction. I trust the outcome. Even though it might hurt. Own it. Abraham believed the word of the living God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. He believed the unseen because the unseen is more real than the seen. I'm a son. Say it if you believe it. Who's your daddy?
Yes! 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 Yes, and ladies, I don't know if you were praying. The ladies, stand up along with your husbands, please. And just repeat this after me. Yes. Father, I am your daughter. And I am of a culture that is very confused. And I have turned around and confused it even more. I'm in a culture that wants me to be a man. That wants me to lead my man. That wants me to be the warrior that he is. That wants me to take over his position. Forgive me for being a part of a generation and a woman that has emasculated millions of men around the world. Forgive me for my part in it. Forgive me for walking in that sin and that defilement. Forgive me for the dishonor and the disrespect that I have walked in, spoken in. Forgive me how I've used my body against my husband. Yes. Forgive me for what I've made sex to be, a weapon of manipulation, and my mouth, a weapon of mass destruction. I am your daughter. You knew me before the beginning of the foundations of the world began. You call me beautiful, and I have cursed myself. Forgive me for what I've done with my physical body and with my mind, with my mouth. You call me blessed, a daughter of a king, a princess. I want to walk in that. Free me now of my culture. I want to be counterculture. I want to walk in your ways. I want to honor my man. I want to come alongside him. I want to honor you, and I no longer want to defile myself, him, or my children. I no longer want to defile the marriage bed. I don't want to defile our finances. And I don't want to defile your word or your ways. Deal with me. I stand here before you. Thank you for your mercy. Train me up how you designed me to be. Beautiful, captivating, lovable, honorable, desirable. Teach me to be desirable for my husband. And I forgive every man who has fallen under my spell, who have fallen into my trap as I've tested too many times in a wrong way. I forgive myself for what I've done. Who have I associated myself with? How I've represented you with control and manipulation, haughtiness, arrogance, self-righteousness, and I've held up religion higher than your word. I want freedom to be what you've designed me to be. I rebuke all that is in me that is not of you. Every idea, every misconception, every rule that I have beaten other people up with that is not even in your word. Here's my weapon. I hand it to you now. I will not use it anymore. I'm done with it. God, I ask for crop failure. Let not my insecurities be passed down to my children. Let not my wicked ways be passed down to my children. Yes. 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 Teach me to love with your love, to walk in faith that is your faith. I lay down the threats, and I lay down the threatening. Choose to trust you fully. And I choose to trust this man you have given me fully. I am a new creation today. I'm not defined by my past, and I'm not defined by my church. I'm not defined by anyone else's interpretation. Not anyone in this room or out of this room. You made me. You define me. So I release all inhibitions to you. Every rule I've created out of fear to protect myself. Show me, Father, how to walk in this new way and to worship you in the marriage bed, to worship you with my full body. Unashamed. Everybody, say this after me. Say, in the name of Yeshua and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the fathers of our faith, who walked by faith and trusted you, I take authority over my physical body, and I command the spirit of perversion of truth to come out of my body right now. I don't need you any longer. The perversion of religion, I break your powers. I don't need you anymore. And the spirit of shame and guilt, I break your powers, and I command you to come out of my very being, come out of my soul, come out of my hands, my feet, my eyes, my ear, come out of my mouth. You will not control me any longer. Shame, I hate you. Guilt, I hate you. You are not from my Father. And you belong in the pit and not in me. I break you off of my finances, off of my future. You will not pass this place and go into my children's children's children. I receive healing into my soul, and I receive the blessing of love with my spouse. And I receive the blessing from my Father as his child. I loosen my tongue to ask questions, to ask him the craziest, wildest things, just as a 3-year-old does, just as a 4-year-old does, as a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old does. For he commanded me to have a childlike faith. For he even said that if I do not have the faith of a child, I will not enter into my Father's kingdom. And I want you to put your hands over your reproductive organs. Wait, put your hands on your spouse's reproductive organs. Yes. Put your hands on mine. Well, I can't reproduce anymore, but anyway. Hold on, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. This is not bad. Here, if you go like this, go like this. Boom, there you go. Come on, turn around. Honey, stop. Okay. I bless in the name above all names, my Creator who created us. I bless these areas formed by the Father. I say yes and amen. I say yes and amen. I celebrate these areas as my Father has celebrated this, intricately put it together to fit perfectly together. Yes. Hold on. I cancel every curse I have spoken against my one flesh and the production of it and how it comes together. I am not ashamed of the truth any longer. Amen. Amen. All right. Okay. So, Jen, I don't know where to tell everyone to go. Okay, so, men, you are going to be downstairs in the registration room. Ladies are going to be in here with me. And if you are uncomfortable with being a part of this kind of a conversation, you're more than welcome to go to the beach. It's your call. If you're not ready for it, it's okay. We bless you. Remember I said that some people are just not ready to go to those deeper levels? Do you understand? That's okay. We bless you in that. And if at any point, you know, and by the way, it's going to be a lot of Q&A and a lot of different types of discussion, okay? And there might be some more healing and there might be some more stuff, all right? So God bless you at the beach or God bless you downstairs in registration room. It's 15 minutes. Go to your places. Pee. Get yourself ready.